The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today is Thursday, August 27th. What to know today about one of the most powerful storms to ever hit Louisiana? We have an update about Hurricane Laura after it made landfall early this morning. Also, new tensions and another shooting in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And it's the fourth and final night at the RNC. Plus, a major milestone in global health, why the NBA season is now in question, and Apple's plans for augmented reality at home. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Hurricane Laura made landfall early this morning as a historic Category 4 storm. The eye of the hurricane came on shore just after midnight south of Lake Charles, Louisiana. And when it did, Laura's wind speeds even surpassed those of Hurricane Katrina in 2005. The National Hurricane Center says sustained winds reached 150 miles an hour, just 7 miles an hour shy of the Category 5 threshold. And the center warns storm surges could be unsurvivable. Waves could soar as high as 20 feet in some places, with as much as 15 inches of rainfall. The bright spot in all of this, though, is that the western Gulf Coast isn't quite as densely populated as the New Orleans area where Katrina hit 15 years ago. So it's not expected to cause quite as much damage or result in as many deaths. But much like Katrina, Laura also made landfall in the middle of the night, which did complicate last-minute evacuation efforts. More than 500,000 people were already under mandatory evacuation orders from Galveston, Texas to Grand Isle, Louisiana. But at this point, for most people who decided not to evacuate, it's too late. Roads are shut down or impassable due to floodwaters, and the governor in Texas warned that for about 24 hours, rescuers will not be able to get into disaster zones to help. President Trump says his administration is working with state and local governments to do what it can for the people of Texas and Louisiana, as well as those in Arkansas, where the storm seems to be headed next. FEMA has nearly 600 trained disaster workers on hand to support communities after the storm, and the Red Cross has pre-positioned shelter and relief supplies along the Gulf Coast. For a fourth straight night, crowds marched in the streets of Kenosha, Wisconsin, now outraged over the shootings of three men. Remember, the outrage started when a white police officer shot a black man, Jacob Blake, Sunday night. But things got even worse yesterday. A teen was captured on video holding a long gun and shooting into the crowds of people calling for justice for Jacob Blake. Two protesters in the crowd died, and another was hurt. A 17-year-old is now in custody charged with murder. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reports several armed people came to Kenosha from out of town, identifying themselves as militia, saying they wanted to defend the city. The sheriff says it's not clear yet whether the 17-year-old arrested was part of that group or not. Either way, the feds are now cracking down. President Trump says he sent federal agents and National Guard troops to Kenosha, calling it necessary to, quote, restore law and order. But critics worry it'll just heighten tensions there. As for the investigation into the shooting of Jacob Blake, Wisconsin's attorney general revealed it was Officer Rustin Chesky who shot Blake. He's been on the police force for 7 years. The attorney general said a woman originally called police saying her boyfriend was there and wasn't supposed to be. Police tried to arrest Blake, used a taser that did not stop him, and then as he was about to get into the car, the officer fired into his back. The attorney general also said Blake had a knife on him when the shooting happened, and investigators found that knife in Blake's car. The officer was not wearing a body camera. The Justice Department has now opened a civil rights investigation into this shooting. The CDC released some controversial changes to its coronavirus testing guidelines. It now says people who get exposed to COVID-19 may not need to be tested anymore as long as they don't start showing symptoms. Before this week, the CDC recommended everyone who may have been exposed be tested right away, symptoms or not, so they too can isolate if needed and help stop the spread of the virus. That's why this reversal shocked a lot of public health experts. So why did the guidelines change? Well, it's not completely clear. The New York Times cites two federal health officials who say the Department of Health and Human Services and other higher-ups ordered the CDC to make revisions. The department sent an email out last night that said the change was based on current evidence, though the AP reports it's not clear what evidence they're referring to. Apparently, the White House Coronavirus Task Force also discussed this, but the nation's top infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, told CNN he was having surgery at the time and wasn't part of it. Dr. Fauci says he's now worried Americans will start thinking asymptomatic spread is not a big concern when he says it is. In fact, the CDC has said as many as 40% of infected people show no symptoms. Some experts wonder if the new guidelines may have come from the top and were politically motivated as a way to drop the total number of cases confirmed. But the nation's testing czar has pushed back on that, saying it was decided by science. Still, Democratic governors from California, New York, Washington, and Kentucky all criticized the new recommendations, some even saying they won't follow them. The fourth and final night of the Republican National Convention is tonight, and President Trump is set to make a speech and accept his party's nomination at the White House. Already last night, Vice President Mike Pence formally accepted his nomination for a second term in office. Pence spoke before a crowd of people at Fort McHenry in Baltimore, saying, quote, "We will make America great again, again." Pence said President Trump has certainly kept things interesting the past 4 years and that, more importantly, he kept his word to the American people. The VP also said, quote, "You won't be safe in Joe Biden's America." Pence said only a Trump presidency would stand with law enforcement and promised not to cut police funding. However, we should note that Biden made it clear over the summer that he does not support calls to defund the police. Tonight, the RNC will feature speeches from the UFC president, Dana White, Housing and Urban Development Secretary Ben Carson, White House senior advisor slash the president's daughter, Ivanka Trump, and President Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani. And of course, the president himself. Meanwhile, the Biden-Harris campaign is looking to pull some attention away from the RNC. This afternoon, the vice presidential nominee, Senator Kamala Harris, will speak in Washington, D.C. All right, we have more news coming up, but first, thanks to our sponsor this week, Native. I believe reading labels is key. I do it with everything in order to make informed decisions, from the food I buy to the personal care products I use. And that's part of why I love my deodorant from Native. Native has ingredients you've actually heard of, like coconut oil and shea butter, and it's aluminum-free. Native never uses ingredients like aluminum, parabens, sulfates, or talc. And you don't have to sacrifice on odor protection either. Native keeps you smelling and feeling so fresh. I love every scent of Native deodorant I've tried, from coconut and vanilla to lavender and rose. And get this, Native is risk-free to try. Every product comes with free shipping in the U.S., plus free 30-day returns and exchanges. So do what I did and make the switch to Native by going to nativedeo.com/newsworthy or use the promo code newsworthy at checkout and get 20% off your first order. That's nativedeo, nativedeo.com/newsworthy or use promo code newsworthy at checkout for 20% off your first order. Now back to the news. In a historic public health achievement, Africa has been certified as wild polio-free. The World Health Organization made the announcement this week, 24 years after the Kick Polio Out of Africa campaign first launched. Back in 1996, it was estimated that wild poliovirus paralyzed an estimated 75,000 children on the continent each year. Now, Africa has not reported a single case of wild polio since August of 2016. So the WHO called this a momentous milestone. American athletes are taking a stand against racial injustice. It started with the Milwaukee Bucks. The NBA team never showed up for yesterday's playoff game against the Orlando Magic. Instead, they released a statement saying they're protesting the police shooting of Jacob Blake in Kenosha, Wisconsin. But it won't count as a forfeit. Ultimately, the NBA postponed the other two playoff games scheduled last night. The league told ESPN it scheduled a special board of governors meeting for this morning to decide what comes next. But reports say it's already unlikely that today's playoff games will go on as planned. In fact, one ESPN reporter says he's hearing the rest of the season could be canceled, but that's still up in the air. By the way, the WNBA, MLB, and MLS also called off last night's game to protest the police shooting. Fortnite's new season arrives today, but because the popular game's owner, Epic Games, is in a court battle with Apple, its rollout will be a little messy. Apple still is not allowing any Fortnite updates. So that means people who play on Apple devices like iPhones, iPads, or Macs will be playing a different version of the game than those who play on Android devices or gaming systems like PlayStation or Xbox. And the two versions will not be compatible with each other. This all comes back to a feud over money. Right now, when you download an app from your device's app store, Apple and Google get a 30% cut of in-app purchases. But Fortnite has a new payment system to bypass that. So Apple is not happy and dropped Fortnite from its app store in retaliation. People who already had it downloaded are still able to play, but they can't get updates. Epic Games sued Apple over this, and the case is still playing out in court. Apple's video streaming service could soon be interactive. Bloomberg reports the tech giant is adding augmented reality to Apple TV+. Bloomberg gave this example of how it could work. Someone watching Apple's moon exploration show on a TV might be able to hold up their phone or tablet to see what looks like a virtual lunar rover landing on their living room coffee table. Sources tell Bloomberg the new feature would launch early next year, and in 2022, it's rumored the company is set to release an AR headset as well. And that's it for the main 10 minutes of news today, but now it's time for Thing to Know Thursday, when we further explain something from the news. Today, we're talking about the census. 35% of U.S. households still have not been counted in the 2020 census. Compare that to 2010, when the last census went out, and 26% of U.S. households never responded. But this year, people still have one more month to get their data in. The Census Bureau says it will stop collecting data on September 30th. As a reminder, the census is essentially a population count of the U.S. every 10 years. The results can impact how much representation your area could get in Congress and where federal tax dollars end up, so it's important. You can fill out the census online, by phone, or by mail. Go to census.gov to learn more. And that's your thing to know today. All right, thank you so much for listening today and every day. We'll be back tomorrow with your news roundup for Friday and the weekend. Until then, have a great day.